From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Chants against Bahrain's ruling monarchy have punctuated the funeral processions for several of those killed in the government raid on protesters gathered in the central square of the capital. Thousands of mourners turned out today, but NPR's Peter Kenyon in Bahrain says there has been none of the violence that marked yesterday's raid.
Today we have had funerals for five slain demonstrators and some of their family members in some cases. There was no violence at any of the funerals. There's been helicopters overhead tracking people, but no sign of riot police, certainly, just a few traffic police around.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Bahrain, where public gatherings are now officially banned. Thousands of people have gathered back in the main square of Cairo today. They're taking part in a victory march to celebrate the ouster of Egypt's longtime president, Hosni Mubarak, who resigned 1 week ago today under pressure from the massive pro-democracy demonstrations that swept that country. The marathon debate in the House on a bill to fund the federal government after the current stopgap funding bill expires has produced no agreement so far, with a March 4th deadline looming. At issue is the insistence by House Republican leaders that the measure include deeper spending cuts. NPR's Audie Cornish reports one Senate Democrat is pushing a provision aimed at encouraging lawmakers to reach a deal.
Concerns rise over whether the government will stop operating if lawmakers do not approve a new agreement by the March 4th deadline. California Democrat Barbara Boxer has even gone so far as to draft legislation ending a loophole that allows lawmakers to be paid in the event a shutdown puts federal employees out of work.
This is such a simple piece of legislation. It's so fair that it will wake people up and say, gee, maybe I ought to work a little harder at compromising.
Meanwhile, House Republican leader John Boehner says he will not support a short-term spending measure that doesn't include cuts. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
That's the sound of teachers and other state employees rallying outside Wisconsin's Capitol building. They oppose a plan by the state's new Republican governor that would nullify collective bargaining agreements that cover most public employees in the state, employees such as teacher Rachel Hildebrand.
Removing basic principles from the public sector is something that is really disgusting and just disturbing, and I'm ashamed of in my state.
Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin have left the Capitol in an effort to stall approval of the controversial plan, but Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is dismissive of that tactic.
And after they do their stunt for a day or two, it's more about theatrics than anything else, that they'll come back and realize, again, they're elected to do a job.
President Obama is criticizing Walker for unleashing what he calls an assault on unions. This is NPR News. Belgium has surpassed Iraq as the country taking the longest time to form a new government after elections. Terry Schultz reports from Brussels it has been 250 days since the last election in Belgium.
Divisions between Dutch-speaking and French-speaking parties are so acute, they've outdone Iraq's Kurds and Shia and Sunni Muslims in refusing to compromise. So while protesters in cities across North Africa and the Middle East are demanding their unelected governments get out, Belgians are demanding their elected officials get to work. They're calling it a friet or fry revolution. Thousands of people, mostly students, marched in cities across the country against the linguistic separatism. But some politicians are still calling for Belgium to break apart. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
The Senate has approved legislation aimed at making air travel safer and more convenient and more passenger-friendly by modernizing the air traffic control system. The new system would allow airliners to fly more precise routes between airports, saving time, money, and jet fuel. The system will make use of satellites to keep track of the exact positions of planes in the sky. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says it's about time that technology, which is already in cell phones, made it into the air traffic control system.
Airplanes don't have it. Airplanes use radar. Next gen, the technology we're talking about, will take the technology out of a cell phone and put it on an airplane and make it safer and more efficient.
Democrats are describing the measure as a job creation bill because they estimate it could lead to the employment of nearly 200,000 workers. A similar aviation bill cleared a House committee earlier this week. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.